Thank you, everyone, for what you've shared. It's been a precious morning, hasn't it? Just worshipping him, realizing again there's an established path. He is the way. He is the way. And that way is to intimate union and fellowship with God himself. And that is glory. How wonderful. Bless you, Daniel. I've had a little bit of a low patch. I've been all right in myself, I think. But just in this last week, just praying again, one thing the Lord just gently spoke to me was daily. And that's where you finished. And also this way, this access. And I don't know if you remember last time I shared, we began looking at the offerings in Leviticus. I don't know if anyone remembers that. If you don't, I'm reminding you. And I'd like to return there and maybe just finish off. When I say finish off, I don't think with these things there's a finishing off. They're so vast, so wonderful. But in and through it all, this simplicity of Christ, I trust, will be ministered. So if you want to, we'll go there in a moment again, Leviticus chapter 1. You can put your finger in there. Before we look at that scripture, I just want to remind you, I gave a little introduction and then we started with the burnt offering, which is the first of five. That's the burnt offering. Excuse me. And I want to just finish that off before we go on to the grain offering, hopefully next time. Then there's the peace offering, there's the sin offering, and the trespass offering. And the point was, and this is where I want us to refocus, in Luke 24, we hear this from the Lord. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms," and here's the key point, "concerning me." This is the word speaking words. I'm referring back to the law and the prophets and the Psalms and making the massive point that essentially all of this is concerning him. How wonderful. And then it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. What a miracle. What a key. What a mystery. But how wonderful. And even as Daniel was sharing, and Mum too, and how we enjoy a richness of his presence amongst us. And please, Daniel, don't be thinking what I'm bringing is the feast and yours isn't. He's the feast and we're all weak vessels who just trembling bring a simple offering. It's him. Unless he speaks, it's all empty. It can be the most stumbling words or it could be the most eloquent words. It's neither here nor there in one sense, unless the word himself is here amongst us, speaking, breaking his bread. We have nothing. And I've been fed. I wanted to say, Daniel, seriously, I wanted to say, keep going. Just crack on. In one sense, the point isn't about how the word comes, what vessel the word comes through. It's that the word comes and we eat. So often we're assessing, aren't we? Horizontally. Bless the Lord. With all my heart, I believe he is here by the power of his spirit, and ours is the great privilege by his grace to discern the presence of the Lord, the King of glory, the bread of life, the only hope for this broken world. He's here, and ours is to just reach out. If we see it, if we realize it, we reach out and lay hold and say, Lord, glory to his name. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Has that happened to you? May it happen again this morning as we continue. So if you just go to Leviticus with me, and I don't know if you're, I'll stop saying if you remember, let's just assume you don't, and I'll just crack on. Prior to chapters of Leviticus, there's rich context. And that is, and we won't go into it in too much detail, but that is Exodus chapter 40. And we read, just to give us a flavour. Oh, have you got hunger for the Lord? Have you got hunger for his glory and for fullness? Listen to this. Then a cloud covered the tent. This is verse 34. A cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode there. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle of meeting. It is that place, isn't it? From this place, the tabernacle of meeting, where the glory of the Lord has filled, that we then get Leviticus. It says at the start of chapter 1, and the Lord called to Moses and spake to him out of the tabernacle of meeting. So can you see the rich context of the end of Exodus chapter 40 and the fullness of the Lord's presence and his glory and the tabernacle of meeting? In the old version it says a congregation. The Lord speaks from that place to give instruction, to outline the offerings. Sometimes we get a bit confused and it seems quite complicated, ironically. But listen, this is the simplicity of it. God's heart has always and forever is filled with desire for fellowship. And this is the most precious gift. This is what the established way is for, to bring us to God, who were utterly separate and lost. Never the twain shall meet, but praise him. He's done the impossible thing, covering all the bases with such exquisite detail. Hopefully we'll see some of that in these scriptures. But this is the main point, that the scriptures should be opened up, that we should see Christ. All things concerning him. He said it himself to the disciples in that chapter in Luke. Bless his holy name. So the instructions, I made a little note here, the instructions regarding these offerings come from the Lord to his people. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Exodus, they've already been redeemed. So now in Leviticus, these offerings, these instructions are from the Lord's heart, from his glory, from his fullness to his redeemed people. Isn't this wonderful? That they should be in relationship with him, and that relationship should be maintained. And there should be fellowship, and there should be acceptance, and there should be provision for an ongoing, wonderful relationship of God with his people. So again, the main point is that God actually wants this. He's gone out of his way in such great detail to make this not just a possibility, but a wonderful reality for those who would come actually in simplicity. Glory to his name. It's all about fellowship, I've written here. The provision of the offerings is for God's redeemed people. The purpose of the provision is to maintain this way, this access, this relationship, and this fellowship. Glory to God. I hope you're thinking of Christ. All the way through, think of Christ. Look to Christ. See the fulfillment of all these things in Christ. How wonderful. So last time, and I'm not going to dwell here, we're just going to hopefully come to the third point, but just by way of remembrance, I pointed out that Jesus fulfills this first offering perfectly, the burnt offering, firstly by his complete devotion and consuming passion to do his Father's will. The primary point of this first offering in Leviticus chapter 1 is that it was completely and wholly consumed. No part given back to the worshipper. Sometimes known as the whole burnt offering. And we just looked on this wonderful fact that primarily, coming first here in the order, Christ as the ultimate sacrifice, the burnt offering, it was whole and complete fiery devotion to his Father's will. We're not talking in this offering about sin here. It's a sweet smelling savour, and interestingly, the burnt and the grain and the peace have this in common. A sweet smelling savour to the pleasure of the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? And I want to just state again, I'm not going to go into so much detail as last time, but I want to state again, Jesus Christ is the full fulfillment of the blazing burnt offering, and the Father is blessed. The pleasure of the Lord, our Father, prospers in the hand of his Son. And again, just to reiterate that point, we saw, didn't we? It was head, it was inward parts, it was feet. Speaking of the thoughts of Christ, utterly pure. Not one moment did he drop the ball. His thought life was utterly pure. And his inward parts, all his affections, his emotions, his feelings, his motivations, everything that fuels the man, the woman. Listen again. Utterly pure, without spot, without blemish. Head, inward parts, and the feet representing the walk, the outward walk. How he was in the world, he walked in white. Glory to Jesus. There's no one like him. Excuse me for saying this, but in this sense, I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord and how well you've done and how many awards you've got and what your CV's like. You don't compare. Christ is incomparable. Glory to his name. Let that be a relief to you, my friend. You don't have to step up on your tiptoes to try and attain to this. This is an untouchable, incomparable glory, purity. And you know what he did with it? He came as a baby. We've celebrated at Christmas. And from that moment, he was redeeming lost mankind. And every step was a step of righteousness to counteract the fall, the awful fall of humanity. And he was redeeming it all back, all through childhood, all through those teenage years, to that fully mature man. And he is our man. Oh, glory. Glory to the man, Christ Jesus. He was the perfect burnt offering. There's so much in this. I'd encourage you, after you've read Hebrews, I'd encourage you to read Genesis, like Roger said, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you can crack on. How wonderful. Oh, how wonderful. The whole word pulsates with the glories of the Christ. Oh, Jesus. As I've been pondering afresh these things, honestly, I feel like, from my perspective, we say, oh, I feel like I'm dipping my toe in the water. I feel like I've just caught a glimpse of the great ocean over there, and I'm in the dunes here. I need to get to the water. But it's not about that primarily. Oh, to see him, to behold his glory. Tell you what, a broad place will open up. We've heard him. He's here. He's actually, with all this passion, in the old it was represented from the tabernacle of meeting, from the place which he'd set up to make provision for God's people to be in relationship with him. Oh, what dimensions have opened up since. And he's here this morning at the start of this new year with compelling passion, calling to us, his people, his redeemed people. And by the way, if you're not, if you're here, or if you're listening in and you don't know the Lord, I'm telling you, it's as easy as anything for you to come to know him. Because he's already paid the ultimate price. The blood has already been shed, and you can leave all the old behind, like we've heard, and lay hold of this Christ and be saved. Not through your effort or your seeking, but through his great saving power. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Sorry, I got a bit carried away with that little review on point one. Point two, Jesus fulfills the specific criteria of the burnt offering. So not just in the sense of his consuming passion to do the Father's will, but the fulfillment was in the detail. If you go through it all, it's remarkable. See Christ. Let him open our eyes to see him as he fulfills all the specific criteria. Wonderful. So this was the part I wanted to just focus in on. And this is, in a sense, application. There's implication, but there needs to be application. Sometimes have you found that when we're arrested by the word of God, we are hit with the potential implications. Implication. But unless we, by his grace, allow him to apply his word, we can observe and remain unchanged, remarkably. There's phenomenal implication, but let's look at application too. And Jesus, oh Jesus, he's here. And with all my heart, I want him to do the talking. He wants us to give ourselves to him. As, and I say this very tentatively, but it's clear in the scripture, and I'm putting it in quotes. In a sense, there's some application here in light of the wonder of all this, which is untouchable. Because of his desire for intimate fellowship, he calls to us to give ourselves in response to his great untouchable offering. He wants us to give ourselves as an offering, in quotes, as a burnt offering, as redeemed people, to give our lives, little as they are, to him. How? In loving, simple consecration. Listen, a burnt offering in those times expressed love and commitment to God. In a culture where livestock was your livelihood, person didn't part with a bullock. Do you remember the grades last time? A bullock, a lamb or ram, or even a bird. There were three levels. Depending on your situation and circumstance, you didn't part with those, in a sense, lightly. Be the equivalent, I guess, to like your full month's salary in one go, one offering, or, you know, giving your new car away, or what you can think of different applications. But it cost. Could be. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That's big. Absolutely. So the implication, and moving it forward, the application is that the Lord is calling us to give ourselves to Him. Now, please don't misunderstand. This isn't about your offering somehow doing the big work. No, not at all. This is in response to what the Lord has perfectly already done. But in Him, and we'll see hopefully before we're done, a few scriptures that make this point. And I just felt urged, and will come hopefully to make the link with the daily as we start this new year. So He's calling to us to give ourselves to Him in response to, and I quote Hebrews, the once and for all giving of Himself. Even as we've seen in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Lord was clearly looking for something relationally deeper than just the outward expression of the offerings. We read, don't we, in Hosea 6, for I desire, this is the Lord speaking, I desire. Oh, I love that word. I desire. Lord, what do you desire? I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Fellowship. Intimacy. Relational depth and connection. Can you hear His heartbeat? No wonder He establishes a way. In Hebrews 10, again, that's been referred to. Please read that chapter. It's absolutely wonderful. We get this, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. It's a bit of a head spinner. In Micah 6, we have this intensely piercing question. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased? With thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then we get this, and we often quote this out of context, don't we? He has shown you. You know the verse, don't you? He has shown you. Oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly before your God. And if we're going, oh, phew, that's good. So if I do that, I'm accepted. We've missed the point. Who can be like that? Only one. Isn't there? There's only one. Christ. He did justly throughout every moment, even in the face of the grandest injustice. Father, forgive them. And we look on and we're like, that's wrong. It's wrong. But we read in Romans, it's right. The provision, the once and for all offering has made it possible for holy God to justify sinners. And to maintain his integrity 100% because of this one who loved mercy and who walked humbly before his God. That's Jesus right there. That's what's required. Praise him. And in Mark 12, sorry for jumping left, right and centre, you okay? We have this really interesting. Mark 12:28, if you want to turn there, you don't have to. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him in verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I mean, that's pretty whole burnt offering stuff. All. And again, I say this gently but challengingly. If we're sitting there thinking, yeah, nice one, I've started the year well. Lord, I love you with all. That's great. But seriously, if it wasn't for the offering of Christ, we'd have not a leg to stand on. Our giving is only in him. Do you see that? Otherwise, we get off track and we're on this incredible treadmill of trying to do better, trying to give more, trying to earn favor somehow. And here the Lord says, and it's wow, it's so challenging, isn't it? All. There's no kind of leeway there. This is the first commandment. And if you thought that was a tough one, world record breaking stuff this, Rog. The second is like it. So how are you getting on with the first one? The second one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's Jesus speaking. He doesn't water it down, does he? So the scribe said to him, and this is really interesting in Mark, the scribe said to him, well said. Nice one, scribe. Appreciate your feedback. Well said, teacher. Give that a 10 out of 10. You have spoken the truth. I mean, this is ripe with irony, isn't it? The way, the truth, the life is there speaking. Nice one. Well done. You've done well there. True. Thanks a lot. And then he says, for there is one God and there is no other but he. And he's reiterating firmly, centrally held beliefs of God's people. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is, and here's the really interesting bit in our little study here, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. I want to just say humbly, well said, scribe. You've spoken well. And Jesus' comment about what he says is, you are not far from the kingdom. You're onto it, my son. And I'm absolutely convinced the Lord was drawing him with compelling urgency and love and devotion. You're not far. Come on. Glory to his wonderful name. Isn't it remarkable? So the scribes saw that all of the offerings, and we'll go through them hopefully through this year probably, all of that, at the beating heart, if you like, is fellowship, love, relationship, glory to his wonderful name. And so we'll come to a close with that thought. Paul writes this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's absolutely remarkable that Paul takes up this language of offering, of sacrifice, and applies it to the people of God, related to their response to the once and for all offering of Christ. Separate from that, we rapidly have a car crash. We sometimes sing, don't we, "Take My Life," Francis Ridley Havergal, I think it was, "and let it be consecrated to thee." You know how that hymn ends? "Take my love, my Lord." There it is. "Take my love, my Lord. I pour at thy feet its treasure store." That's what he's after. "Therefore, by him," there's the key, "by him, let us continually," here we come to the daily, the regularity, habitual, but not in a dry sense, in a pulsating relational sense, "by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips." We might think, in light of all this, what's the point of the fruit of our lips? And separate from Christ, yeah, you've got a point. But in him, he treasures your poor offering. He treasures to hear the sound of the genuine love response of your heart, redeemed people of God. "Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices," get this, "God is well pleased." Hang on. "In him." So in Christ, our faltering, let's be honest, our faltering attempts to offer are well pleasing. Isn't that wonderful? So it's not about you getting it perfectly right, but if the motive of your heart is in response to this incomparable love of God in Christ Jesus, then you go ahead, my friend, and give your whatever all may be. Oh, praise him. And somehow he's well pleased, because he sees the travail of his son's soul and the fruit of his labors. Praise his wonderful name. There's many scriptures you can look. I'm going to close so we can just I think we need to respond to Jesus. Somehow he's here, this Holy One. He's here mixing with the likes of me and you. No disrespect intended. Glory to Jesus. He wants us to respond to him in love. So lots of passages. I can let you have them if you want, but just let's close with this. Therefore, in Ephesians 5, Paul says, "Be imitators of God as dear children." And this is the nub of it. Listen, walk in love. That's simplicity. Walk in love. Wow, Lord. "As Christ also has loved us." Whew, there's a model. "And as Christ has given himself for us, an offering, and a sacrifice to God." Do you see the language of it? This isn't the sin offering. We'll go there eventually. But this is this burnt offering, the pleasure of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. And Christ has trodden that path and offered
And it's clearly marked through the meadow. With my brother, I want to follow hard. I want to go down that established path. And say, oh Jesus, take this little life. How about you?
And you may be thinking, I haven't got much. Let me just remind you, whether it's a bullock, whether it's a ram, whether it's a bird, the Lord has made provision for us all. So in your eyes, it may be just a little bird. It may be a lamb. It may be a bullock. There's a way for all of us. We've got all kinds of things going on in our heads. I can't offer. What could I offer? Well, in light of the ultimate offering, we hear his wonderful, loving, strong, compelling voice in our midst saying, come, my people, come to me. We've heard it again. Come to me. What can I give him? We sing in the Christmas carol, don't we? In a bleak midwinter. Poor as I am, I give you my heart. Who's with me? I want to give it fresh today. This will set the tone. And you know how we go on? Who's into 5-year plans? I get the point of them, but I want to come back to Daniel's point. The key for walking with Christ, the key for maintaining this fellowship is daily, and Hebrews is full of it. Daily. Daily. I've got loads of scriptures on that if anyone's interested. But let's do that now, shall we, as we close. Let's come to him. Let's exhort one another daily. While it is called today. That's the antidote to being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, precious Lord, we love you. Let's just be quiet and respond to Jesus. He's here by his Spirit calling us on. Up. Out. Oh, dear Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you for the royal law of love. Lord, and somehow, by your amazing grace, as your redeemed people, we hear you again today, calling us in you and by you to offer these little lives, Lord. Birds and lambs and bullocks.